Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council audio podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier, and today on the program, we're going to talk with Wendy Mosier, who is the CEO and founder of New West Genetics, and you can find them at newwestgenetics.com. I want to bring Wendy in. Wendy, how you doing today?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Jason?
Doing fantastic as well. So we should have a fantastic conversation, I guess. I don't need to be too cheesy there. But the reason we've got Wendy on the program again is to talk about New West Genetics and, of course, hemp. So let's talk about, first of all, Wendy, talk about New West Genetics as far as why you founded that, when you founded it, and kind of get us up to date on what you're doing there.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jason. I appreciate it. The story of New West Genetics is truly one of half expertise and half luck and or the good grace of being where we were at the time we were. So New West Genetics was started in 2014. In 2013, Colorado passed, of course, our recreational bill, which everybody knows about, but little known within that bill was one sentence that requested the Department of Ag to set up a regulatory program for hemp. So we are in Fort Collins, Colorado. I neglected to mention. Back in 2014, we said, wow, we have all this expertise, which I'll describe in a moment. Mm-hmm. And we're in Colorado as one of two regulatory programs ready to go back in 2014. So why not? We thought, oh, this will be a fun thing to do on the weekend.
Sure.
And here we are 9 seasons later.
And how much fun are you having, Wendy?
Yeah. Oh, God. It was super fun. And it's now become a full-fledged commercial enterprise. Mm-hmm. And we're super proud of what we've made. So, So New West Genetics creates U.S. adapted certified seed to serve various hemp markets.
Okay.
For large-scale production. Mm-hmm. So we do not produce horticultural style hemp. We make large scale harvestable, row croppable hemp varieties to serve the markets.
And how do you get those to the folks that need those? How does that chain work?
Yep, we sell direct. If you're within the U.S., we sell our seed direct, either to processors or direct to farmers and growers. As the market builds, we build. In other countries, we're in about 4 other countries, we do licensing, so they are allowed to multiply our seed for sale as planting seed, and they help us by walking through the regs in those countries. So that's why we only do licensing in other countries. We will look at that model of licensing to seed distributors as the market grows here. But mm-hmm. right now, as we know, commodity pricing is pushing down the availability of growers, right? Mm-hmm. Once that builds, we will need to utilize distributors within the country.
And let me get, so just to make sure I'm on the same page, are folks in the United States able to work with you?
Yeah, we sell seed direct or to processors.
Okay,
yeah, absolutely.
I got you. Okay.
We have commercial acres out there now. And, one thing we neglected to discuss is we are not just seed distributors. We breed, right?
Okay,
so
that was my next question.
We create, we have a commercial scale breeding program that's been in operation since 2014. We work across the U.S., principally across those row cropping states and the northern tier to adapt those varieties to those regions.
Mm-hmm. And let's back up a little bit then. I appreciate the introduction there. Let's back up to, obviously, the laws were favorable to get into the hemp industry back mm-hmm. again in 2014. But why? I mean, what led you to that? Did you just open up the newspaper one day and see that, hey, this is legal, let's go for it? Or was it something you were thinking about before that? What was the process before you actually started the business?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that. I'll tell you why in a second, but we've always been cannabis supporters.
Okay.
So, you know, we were part of those voters that voted in recreational cannabis.
Sure.
So we've always been supporters of the plant. No, we did not set out with doing this. And in fact, we did open a newspaper. We were in Sicily at an Arabidopsis conference back in 2012 or 2013. Mm-hmm. We opened the paper and saw that Colorado's bill passed. And we were with our partner, Rich Fletcher, at the time. And we said, wow, look at this. It made it. It was uncertain, you know, back then,
right,
whether it would pass or not. And we said, whoa, we could do something. So that was 2013. Mm-hmm. And, you know, John and I are married, my other partner. So there are three founders, myself, my husband, and then our friend, Rich. And John and I were not ready. Because we have children. We were still a little nervous back then.
And this is 2013.
That's right, because it wasn't federally legal, and it still isn't, but you know, it just felt even scarier then for us. But then in 2014, that farm bill passed, and we had already had the idea. And when that federal farm bill allowed the R&D in February of 2014, we said, okay, we have no excuse now. We're protected if we do this in hemp federally. So that was kind of the thought process. Now, I didn't speak to my partner's expertise. So John McKay is a professor at Colorado State University. He studies the genomics around complex traits like drought. That is very applicable to hemp because all of the cannabinoids are complex traits, and that means they're controlled by multiple genes. So, and then my other partner, Rich Fletcher, led Cargill's canola breeding program the last 8 or so years of his 17-year career with Cargill. Canola is very applicable to hemp because that lipid profile is similar and can be put to the same utility. So those pieces alone made us say, oh yeah, we can definitely do things in hemp.
What kind of roadblocks did you have back in 2013, 2014 when you filed for a business license, banking, things like that? What kind of roadblocks you run into? You know where I'm going with that.
We're still running into roadblocks. I mean, pick. Let's see, the most frustrating one. Well, we had a bank for the first 4 years. It was no problem. We don't have hemp in our name. That was deliberate.
Okay.
Right? Because of to attempt to, you know, circumvent roadblocks up front.
Right. Right.
In 2014 or 18, when the farm bill passed, allowing commercialization, that's when we got kicked out of our bank.
Oh.
I had to move so much money and they gave me 7 days.
Wow. So basically, yeah, everybody, for the most part, flying under the radar until 2018, when the banks maybe had a meeting together and thought, wait a minute, this is real.
And you know, that year, like, I had a letter from McConnell and one other senator, it was probably Wyden, that said, there's no reason banks shouldn't serve the hemp industry, right? It was a great letter. And I would go to banks with that, and nobody would take us. It took me a while to find one bank that would take us. And then the other roadblock was insurance. It was impossible. They wanted to see all of our capital and plants under lock and key and camera. And, you know, at that time, it was like, there's no capital. It's like everything we brought, right? There's no, like, you don't commercialize a breeding program within the first couple of years if you're making good seed. So, you know, that was very frustrating. They wanted this giant safe. And it was impossible to get insurance. And eventually, after the first few years, the insurance you could get was astronomical because they equated us with cannabis.
Right.
Incredibly frustrating. I mean, still to this day, I struggle getting a bank loan. I haven't successfully been able to get even an SBA loan because we touched the plant, right? There's that segregation of touching and non-touching.
Right, right. Wow. So, and this would be a little different for you guys out there as opposed to Indiana, where marijuana, of course, is not legal. Back then, when did they legalize marijuana in Colorado?
That was the 2013.
Okay, 2013.
So, 2013, rather, Colorado.
Okay,
bill, yeah.
And of course, you guys chose hemp instead of marijuana as your business. or for your business model. Were the folks, and it just seems like that in Colorado, the banks and the businesses would have been had more of an open mind given that marijuana was legal. So did all the marijuana distributors have issues with banks and things as well, or was
Oh,
that
yeah.
okay?
Oh,
So it wasn't
still.
just the hemp side.
Oh, no. Oh,
Okay.
no. It was more so on their side. That, I mean, that some of them are still dealing in cash.
Right.
I mean, it's
Because
still
I was going to
hard.
say, it makes you wonder how they even, like the state allowed it, but there was nowhere to put the money. That really just screams, well, now we can kind of come in and audit and that sort of thing because you're dealing with cash and we don't know what you're doing with that cash. But they want to put it in the bank. They couldn't put it in the bank. So I would assume that would have been a very strong catch 22.
Oh, it and dangerous, for them. I my
Sure.
heart went out to, and still some of them, can't get banks. I mean, the Banking Act has not passed. It is still a highly difficult, thing to get. So I mean, I only have the choice of one bank right now.
Wow.
So, there's no competition. And it was
Right.
the same with my insurance the last, the latter 2018-ish. I only had one choice. So we desperately need it. I mean, everybody support the Banking Act,
Right.
please.
That's just crazy. Just crazy. Okay, well, we'll move on. We don't want to spend the entire podcast banging on the banks here, but that's certainly something that everybody feels or everybody's been touched with it in the hemp industry, including myself. I had to find a bank that would cash a check given to me by a vendor from a hemp company. That was just crazy. The
Oh,
bank
my
I had wouldn't
goodness.
do it. I had to go find another bank. So I did change my account to that other bank and closed out the other account. And they could care less, I'm sure, but it was just crazy to have to go through that. But to think again that in Colorado and states where marijuana is legal, that they would also have issues. You think they would have all those ducks in a row. But again, we'll move on from that and get back to New West genetics. How about that?
That's
Okay,
fine. It's
so
a good tangent.
and so before we do though, let me ask you this. You said you were a proponent of marijuana. The hemp bill passed. You guys shot straight into the hemp industry. Why did you not go into the cannabis or marijuana industry?
Oh, because it's much higher regulation. And we
Okay.
can do, as a genetics company, you can do everything you want to do in hemp because it's the same species as in high THC cannabis. So the only thing you have to do is control the THC, but every other cannabinoid is on the table. The species is the species is the species.
Right.
So you could do everything in a much smoother regulatory environment, a less costly regulatory environment. It was regulated by Colorado Department of Ag, which we love and who has been a wonderful partner through this. Just really understanding of traditional agricultural breeding. It's been it was the right decision, absolutely.
Okay, now let's move on to the Value the Seed initiative. Tell us about that, who's involved, and what that's all about. Value the Seed initiative.
Sure. Value the Seed Initiative is an educational, regulatory, legislative initiative, just to support the creation and just and commercialization of certified seed in the hemp industry. We saw in 2016, 17, 18, 19, even into 2020, the damage poorly bred, misrepresented seed did to the industry. It is not how traditional ag functions. Not every crop uses certified seed. For instance, wheat in general does not, but the majority of crops do. A lot of contracts require certified seed, and all it is a third party validation that your genetics are unique, novel, stable, uniform. And then seed quality, of course. And by seed quality, you mean, sort of presence of noxious weeds, germination, even purity there too. So it's good third party validation that your seed is what you say it is. And that is desperately needed as a standard in our industry due to the fact that there was such poor seed supply for so long. So Value the Seed just says, hey, we could reduce the regulator's burden and the grower's burden if we waive these onerous sampling, testing, and fingerprinting fees for folks that use certified seed. So it's not a mandate, by any means, you can still, you know, we promote everybody, you know, this is America, you have choice, you can grow whatever seed you want. But if you're using this third party validated seed, there's less risk. So those sampling and testing should be waived. So that's all. That's what it is. It is a change that could be made on the regulatory side, but just for good measure, we're also, you know, approaching legislators. And you can see on our Value the Seed page, if you go to our website, all of the supporters who have signed on, the American Seed Trade Association, a number of our hemp trade associations, a number of processors, understand the value of this.
And so basically similar to an FDA approval seal. Is that what they like that you get on the food and everything else, but somewhere that an authoritative organization that hopefully is run non-politically and once you see that seal of approval, you know you're good to go, and that's a seed you can purchase and move on with.
This is a system that has existed for almost 100 years in agriculture.
It seems like a very basic system that, should be in place.
And it was put in place through federal law. Mm-hmm. So there is federal seed law. And I mean, I love the history of this, and people get sick of me talking about it, but I'll tell you really quickly. Sure. The reason it came about was because in World War II, across Europe, and in the U.S., people were reusing seed for a number of years. The food supply started to be threatened because mm-hmm. the more you reuse the seed, the less uniform and pure it gets and the lower yields you get.
Okay.
So there was a food supply crisis across Europe and in the U.S. Both of those, and in North America, both of those entities set up a system to ensure quality seed so the food supply chain was stable. Mm-hmm. In Europe, it's governed by the OECD, and in the U.S., it's governed, the agency that federal law chose and assigned this job to is AASCA, Association of Seed Certifying Agents. Mm-hmm. They have member organizations almost in every state. I think there's a few states that come together and do it all together, but member organizations of AASCA include, you know, I think Australia even, I think there's something like 7 countries represented by it. We have reciprocal acknowledgement between OECD and AASCA because the standards are so similar. And they send in every member state, ours here in Colorado is Colorado Seed Growers Association. They come to your field and they validate multiple times that your variety performs as you have described it. And then they take samples of every lot of seed you make. They take those samples, they send them to a certified seed lab to, you know, make sure the germination, purity, you know, lack of noxious weeds is there before you get a label. It's a very tight system. And there are certified seed labels that go on your bag if you comply with all of those standards. Mm-hmm. So it's very tight and it's every lot. It's not like you get a variety certified and you're done. Mm-hmm. It's every lot. So there's high quality validation built into the whole system.
So how does the Value the Seed initiative, where is that at right now? And how do you get that over the finish line?
That is in front of senators' desks. We've also spoken to NASDA, to National Association of State Departments of Ag. We've spoken to national hemp regulators. We've spoken to USDA. So, you know, on the regulatory side, we hope it can be done that way because that's easier.
Sure.
But it's also in front of senators just in case to pass it through the Farm Bill. It's very simple language. It's just an adjustment of the existing Farm Bill to say, except for certified seed. Whenever it's talking about sampling and testing, there's just an except for certified seed. So really simple, kind of easy solve to at least part of the issue of onerous regulations on growers.
And when do you see that coming to a head or a vote, or when would you anticipate this should be finalized and taken care of?
Oh, Farm Bill goes into negotiations, I think Q1 of next year. Mm-hmm. So January 1st, they'll start. And when they pass it, I mean, you know how it works, right?
Well, the government, they're very efficient. They're very efficient. Things happen very, very rapidly. And they're only there for the citizens. So we would expect that to be, what, January?
Well, no, the negotiations start then. So,
okay,
you know, January 2024, right?
Right. There we go. There we go. Well, let's stay in 2023 and talk about where do you see the hemp industry headed? We've got COVID in the rearview mirror, so people can get out and work and do everything, and we can get, well, obviously we're back to normal here and getting there. What do you see 2023 being for the hemp industry?
I see. Well, one, it's really funny that you say COVID's in the rearview mirror because I have COVID right now.
Oh, you're kidding. Goodness, you're a late bloomer, Wendy.
It's my first time. I know, and my daughter's first time. We all got it and we were on vacation. So I was cooped up in an Airbnb.
Oh,
but,
goodness.
You know, there are worse things. Yeah, no, but hey, it is one thing I love about agriculture. I mean, all through COVID, we could be in the field. It was lovely when you work in ag and you can be outside. So it wasn't that onerous for us. However, oh my God, I see such positive growth on the horizon. You know, and I do want to give kind of a plug. And there's, you know, the demands for on the processor side is robust. Their
Good.
Predictions are robust. I'm super excited on the grain and fiber side. And New West Genetics has created a piece of technology that will enable us to compete with the likes of soy and canola. When we're talking about grain, and that technology is called Amplify. By the way, everything we do is non-GMO. It's just genomic assisted selection to help that breeding process go faster. Amplify doubles the yield through a genetic gender skew, not feminized seed, but genetic gender skew, taking that field of 50-50 roughly male to female up to 90-10 roughly female to male, so that we can get virtually double the yield in the field. So it is a hybrid system. It shows heterosis, increased vigor, uniformity in the field, which also increases the yield. Super excited, brings us up to soy yield levels so we can get competitive and get in the door of those processors, ingredient makers, and really make hemp an alternative to soy protein, to canola oil, et cetera.
Excellent. Very positive outlook there, Wendy. And folks can get more information about New West Genetics at the website newwestgenetics.com. And how else can they get in touch with you and go ahead and give us that contact info and the reasons they want to go ahead and get in touch with you, Wendy?
Yeah, we've got early discounts on our seed, so that should be a big motivator. Those get, you know, they started a very high discount, and every month they kind of lower a little bit. So just to incentivize early purchase as seed makers, we need pre-contracting as much as possible because we make the seed a year ahead. So
oh, okay.
My costs are sunk, right? They're
right.
In. That's how much belief and faith we have in this industry. We train U.S. growers and we do all of our seed production for the U.S. markets within the U.S. And growers train us too. So we are highly invested in U.S. growth of this industry. So please do get in touch with us at info@newwestgenetics.com. And remember those early discounts, seed supply.
All right. Once again, Wendy Mosier, President and CEO of New West Genetics. And you, again, you can find them, newwestgenetics.com. Get all that contact info and everything. And a great website. Went through and perused it, looked through it. A lot of information
Thanks.
There. Very educational, so people can get that as well. And Wendy, is there anything else that I did not hit on that that you want to point out today?
I don't think so. I hope I wasn't too COVID fuzzy brained.
No, you did a fantastic job.
Okay.
And that's I certainly hope the best for you and your family COVID wise, and that you know, thankfully we're not speaking to you from a hospital bed and all that good stuff.
Oh
would,
yeah,
you know,
I'll
at least we're
fine.
Past that sort of scare. But
absolutely
excellent. But no, you did a fantastic job. You gave us a lot of information, Wendy, and we really do appreciate that.
Okay, well, just give us a shout with any questions. Thank you so much for having me, Jason.
Absolutely, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, cheers.
All right, and that's going to do it for this edition of the Midwest Hemp Council audio podcast. I'm Jason Dozier, your host, and we certainly do appreciate you joining us. Please tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council audio podcast, and you can find us at Midwest. and you can find us at MidwestHempCouncil.org. All right, guys, so that is going to do it. And until next time, we'll see you then. So long, everybody.